1 Corinthians and chapter 10 and verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which ye bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Now I want you to go over to chapter 11 and read with me from verse 17 of the chapter, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Amen. And could we please ask the Lord to bless his word and to speak to us. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for these great verses, verses that we know so well. And yet, Lord, we pray today that you will bring them to us with freshness. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt, open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of thy law. How we thank thee for the communion service. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt teach us about it today. O Lord, bless us, we pray. Give us the help of thy Spirit, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Well, I want you to cast your mind back to the 13th of September 2001. September 13th, 2001. You're saying, why not September the 11th, 2001? Well, yes, I know what happened on September the 11th, 2001. And every one of us know what happened on that date. But I want to share something with you that happened on the 13th of September. 2 days later, when those firemen and rescue people were going through the rubble of the World Trade Center, Frank Delvecchia, He was a fireman. And that fireman came across something very interesting. He found a cross. Now you say, what's significant about a cross? Sure, people wear crosses, and what's the big deal about a cross? Well, this cross wasn't the sort of cross that you would wear around your neck, or that you would wear on your finger, or as some item of jewellery. Wasn't like a cross maybe that you'd wear for a bracelet or for some other item of jewellery. There was something unique about this cross, because this cross was 20 feet high. 20 feet high. And this cross was there, right in the middle of all the rubble. Right in the middle of the two World Trade Centers, those massive buildings that had come crashing down. And there was that cross. Now that cross was made from two steel girders. Somehow two steel girders had come together to make the shape of a cross. And you know, that day whenever that fireman found that cross became a symbol of hope to the people of New York. That cross became a symbol of hope to many, many broken-hearted people. Indeed, shortly after that cross was found, they erected it on the site of the World Trade Center. And people came to that cross, and people came to shed tears. People came to pray. Well, thank God today, we can still take comfort from the cross. Thank God for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ today, because we still have the cross, and we can come to the cross, and after the morning service, we will come afresh, as it were, to the cross. We'll come to the communion service, and I hope that you'll stay, child of God. Don't think that I'm more worthy to stay than you. Forget about it. Not at all. You're just as worthy to stay as I am. Remember that we're in Christ. Let us all remember that, those of us who have called out to Him, those of us who have cried to Him for mercy, whatever it was, whether you were a child when you did it, whether you were 50 years of age when you did it, whatever point in life you were at, thank God when you cried to the Savior, He heard you, and He has promised to save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you're in Christ. So that makes it makes you worthy to stay today. Oh, let me encourage those who perhaps don't normally stay for the sacrament or for the ordinance to stay today. I want us to take four looks today. We're going to take a fourfold look, as it were. Because when we come to the communion table, we should look four directions. We should look backward, and we should look inward, and we should look outward, and then forward. So I want us, first of all, to look backward. Because when we come to the ordinance, to the communion service, we primarily look backward. Notice what 1 Corinthians 11 verse 26 says. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show what? The Lord's death. The Lord's death. Mark those three words. The Lord's death. When did the Lord Jesus die? Well, He died nearly 2,000 years ago, A.D. 33. And we look back to His death. That's what we simply do when we come to the communion table. We look backward. We look back to the agonies of His death. We look back to the cruelties of His death. We look back to the mocking, to the ridicule, to the pain. We look back to the not only to the physical sufferings, but we look to the spiritual sufferings too. And we look back to His cruel death, and we need to remember that it was for us. Remember, each one in the meeting today, that He died for you. You see, no matter what you do with Jesus Christ, you cannot get away from that fact, that He died for you. Christ died for the ungodly. And those of us who remain later will remember that he died for us. Of course, we all like to look back. Every one of us, I'm sure, enjoy looking back to our childhood. I know I often cast my mind back and look back to my childhood and look back to the wee angel I was and the fact that I never did anything wrong. I was a great wee boy and Mummy loved me and Daddy loved me and there was nobody like wee Jonathan. Sorry, that's not true, by the way, and every one of you know it. But nonetheless, I enjoy looking back to my childhood because I look back to the home where I was brought up in. I look back to how I spent my childhood days chasing a ball around a field. I look back to the days whenever we used to go out to bring in the hay from the fields. I was brought up on a farm and we used to love going out to bring in the hay. Oh, whenever the summertime came, we used to love to go out into the fields and one of our uncles came and he made bales of the hay and we used to put them on a big hay cart and guess who liked to sit on top of the hay cart? We all like to look back. I'm sure that you have fond memories from your youth. Of course, we not only look back to our childhood days, but we look back to other times whenever pleasant things happened to us. You see, the one thing that we all like to do is to look back to pleasant experiences. None of us like to look back to painful experiences. And yet today, as we look back to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his death, we look back to a painful experience. What a painful experience for him. There was no pleasure in his death because his was a cruel death and his was an agonizing death. But yet through his death, we have salvation. Through his death, we have mercy. Through his death, we have grace. Through his death, we have all the unsearchable riches of Christ. They are freely offered to us by grace. We don't earn them. We don't earn brownie points. And then God the Father says, oh, okay, you've earned that many brownie points. Okay, you deserve this. You deserve that blessing. You can have this. You can have peace. You can have forgiveness. You can have mercy. You've earned it. Not a bit of it. That's not the way that God works. It's all because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do we like to look back personally to our own lives, but of course as a nation we look back. On earlier in the month, on the 2nd of June, Coronation Day was remembered. People look back to the day whenever Queen Elizabeth II came to the throne. And every year on the 2nd of June, we have Coronation Day. Our nation looks back. What is it, 56 years now to when the Queen was brought to the throne. We aren't very far away from Orange Man's Day, and you all know that day, and people in Northern Ireland know Orange Man's Day, 12th of July. We look back to 1690. We look back to those days whenever King William came and conquered King James, who was a Roman Catholic king, and defeated him. And because of William's victory, we have civil and religious liberty today. And I, for one, am glad to look back to 1690. Now, I know that there are people who bring Orangism down into the gutter. There are people today who bring shame upon Orangism and the Orange Order because of the way they behave. For a start, they're not saved. And then they're out every weekend and they're drunk. And somebody sees them staggering out of the pub, staggering home. And they're laughing and they're shouting and they're singing with their friends. And then, some days later, they put on a collarette. How shameful. What a pathetic way to live. What a terrible way to behave for an Orange Man. And yet, thank God that not every Orange Man is like that. And thank God for the people who are saved, the people who stand for the Protestant faith and live it out. and the people who don't get drunk every weekend, the people who are respectable. Thank God we can look back to 1690 and we can thank God for it. Some people are ashamed to look back to 1690. Some people think, oh, don't be so bigoted looking back and thanking God for 1690. How foolish. We should thank God for the heritage that we have. None of us would like to be in a Roman Catholic chapel today. We wouldn't like to be under the heel of the Roman Church today, would we? No, definitely not. Whenever you read about the Roman Catholic Church, whenever you study it and you see all those unscriptural doctrines that they hold to and all the unscriptural blasphemous practices that they practice, none of us would like to be in bondage to Rome. And thank God back 400 years ago, over 300 years ago, whenever King William came to this nation, thank God for the freedom he brought. So thank God for 1690 and thank God for Orange Men's Day. And we as a nation look back to the Battle of Trafalgar. We have what's known as Trafalgar Day. On the 21st of October every year, people, particularly those in England, will look back to the Battle of Trafalgar. Again, this was a battle that brought liberty to us, that maintained our liberty, because Spain and France were coming against Great Britain, and Napoleon was coming against our nation, and our freedom was under threat. But then Horatio Nelson, Captain Nelson, he led our troops, he led our ships into victory, and we defeated France and Spain. And because of that, we have liberty. Thank God for Trafalgar Day. Think about the 5th of November. We look back to the gunpowder plot and how the Lord preserved our nation from Guy Fawkes and his terrorist colleagues. Please remember that Guy Fawkes was an IRA terrorist, as it were. He was a Roman Catholic terrorist. Never forget that. He was a murderer, and he intended to murder many MPs. But the Lord was gracious, and the Lord found him out, and our liberty was preserved. On the second Sunday in November, we have Remembrance Sunday, and we love that day. That's one of my favourite days in the year, whenever we look back to the sacrifice that so many young soldiers made for our nation. So many of them died. Yeah, and so many of them made the ultimate sacrifice, so that we could be free for our tomorrow they give their today. Think of the 11th of November every year, Armistice Day, when we look back again to the sacrifices that so many made. But there's one thing that we love to look back to more than anything else, and that is Calvary. Isn't that right? We look back to the cross, and we remember with fondness, even though it cost him so much, we remember all that the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, all that he accomplished for us. So when we come to the communion table, we look back. As we look back through the ages where the kings and prophets trod, we may see their altars reeking with the sacrifice and blood, but those types were only pointing to the Paschal Lamb of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood. In the soul-cleansing blood of the Saviour, I've been washed in the crimson flood. Though the world may say there is hope some other way, I'm depending on the blood. We look backward, and then we look inward. You see, you'll notice what 1 Corinthians 11 says, verse 28, look at it. Let a man examine himself. So every one of us who will come to this table today, we are to examine ourselves. You examine yourself, I examine myself. Now, please don't think that it's me examining you, because I have no right to examine you. I remember for quite some time thinking that the preacher had the responsibility to examine those who come to the communion table, but then I wised up and I read the Bible. And the Bible says that we are to examine ourselves. I have no right to examine you. And I guarantee you today that if you wait for this table, I'll not stop you taking the elements. And when the elements are passed round, you'll have the right to take them. Let a man examine himself. You examine yourself, I examine myself. I have no right to examine you, but remember, you have no right to examine me. Examine yourselves. We are to look inward. What does it mean? Well, this means that we are to confess all known sin. That's really what it means. Look at our lives. Look back over the past week. And if we can think of thoughts that were wrong, or words that were wrong, or actions that were wrong, we confess them. When do we confess them? Now. Right here and now. Some people, you see, make the mistake of going out through those doors and going home and then confessing them, whenever they had the right to stay here and stay for the service. They should have confessed in the sanctuary. They should have confessed before the communion service. Now. So if, child of God, you can think of some sin that you've been guilty of over the past week, the Bible says to examine yourself, and it says to confess it, but then come. Because notice what it says. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Don't forget the second part of it. There's the first part, examine yourself, but then there's the second part, let him eat of that bread and let him drink of that cup. So, child of God, there's no reason why you shouldn't be at the table today. Maybe you've come in through the doors today and you're weighed down with guilt because you remember what has happened during the past week. Lord, I'm not worthy to come to the table today because of that and that and that. The Lord says, confess it to me and come to the table. Confess it and I'll put it all under the blood. Oh, how sad that so many of the Lord's dear people feel they're unworthy because of some sin, some failure, and they fail to come to the table whenever the Lord would say that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. And of course, that passage goes on to tell us that none of us are without sin, that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But thank God that it also goes on to say that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You see, when we look inward, we're thinking about preparation and participation. For those who like headings and notes, preparation and participation. We are to prepare ourselves for the Lord's table. That simply means examine ourselves and confess our sins. And we are to participate. There should be participation. The Lord longs that we would participate. Oh, He doesn't want us to be spectators. Too many are spectators rather than participators. We are to examine ourselves and partake. Don't just examine yourself and fail to partake. Examine yourself now, 25 past 12, and confess your sins. But stay. Stay. We look backward, we look inward. Thank God we look outward to the believers around us. Chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians and verse 17, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Here's unity. Thank God that when we come to the communion service, there is unity, or at least there should be unity. Unfortunately, back in Paul's day, these believers did not have unity. And whenever they came for the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, there was quarrelings, there was arguments, there was division. And that shouldn't have been. There is to be unity. You see, the Lord's Supper presents to us unity. It's like a great object lesson on unity. We're all part of the one family. And let us remember that today as we come to the Lord's table, that we are part of God's great family. We have our differences. There are things that we don't agree on, but we can agree to disagree. You see, that's one of the problems with the church today. People today can't agree to disagree. They have to cause a rumpus. They have to fall out. They have to make a fuss about things. We are never going to agree on everything. And the Lord Jesus Christ never expects us to agree on everything, but we can agree to disagree. Oh, there is unity. There should be unity. You see, back in Paul's day, whenever the believers took communion, they ate from one loaf. We have tiny little pieces of bread for each individual today, but back in Paul's day, they just had one big loaf, and everybody just tore a lump off the loaf off as the bread was passed along, and they took the lump of bread. They tore off the one loaf of bread, and that in itself was a beautiful picture of unity. We are all part of the one body. We're all part of the one family. People today have become far too health conscious, far too worried about hygiene and all the rest of it. Romans 14:7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labour. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Thank God we look outward when we come to the communion service. And then we look forward, and time is gone, so we need to finish. We look forward to the coming of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Till he come. Every time we have the communion service, we look forward. As God's people, we look forward to the day when Jesus will surely come. He will come. He has promised to come, and he never breaks his promises, you know. And though people today scoff, though people today mock and say, where is the promise of his coming? Nothing's changed. You Christians are deceived. We know that he will come. He really will come. This isn't legend that we're talking about. This isn't a fairy tale. The Lord Jesus Christ really will split the clouds someday, and when that will be, no one knows. But thank God that he will come. And whenever he does come, whenever he splits the clouds, thank God he'll take those who are washed in his blood back to heaven to be with himself. And you know what will take place in heaven? Do you know what's going to happen in heaven? We're going to sit down and have a communion service. Did you know, child of God, that in heaven there will be communion services? How do we know? Well, listen to the words of Matthew 26:29. What did Jesus say? I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. There he was drinking the wine and eating the bread, and sharing with his disciples, having the Passover with his disciples, having the Lord's Supper with his disciples. And then he turns round and he says that there's coming a day when they'll all be in heaven having the supper. On the golden streets of heaven, all men hope to walk someday. Yet so many are not willing to accept the living way, but while others build on good works or opinions if they may, hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood. Some will tell us that God's mercy is their only hope and plea, that a soul he could not punish throughout all eternity. But I read that my dear Savior died for sinners just like me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood. 'Tis the burden of that chorus over on the streets of light, that the blood from Calvary's mountain has washed all their garments white. So I'll shout along life's pathway till I reach that land so bright. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood. Amen. We're going to turn to hymn number 353. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know it is well, it is well with my soul. Let's just sing verse 2, please, of the hymn. Verse 2 and the chorus standing to sing.